Hebrews chapter number 13. Enjoyed finishing the chapter 12 this morning. And boy, I'm looking forward to chapter 13. A little bit sad about finishing the book of Hebrews. I told you when I started it, I'd have to look in my notes. Probably over a year ago, I'm sure, that we started the book of Hebrews. And I told you then I was very intimidated by it. I had actually stayed away from it for years just because it is so precious. It is such a jewel. And not, again, like I said this morning, not to take anything away from any other book of the Bible, but it's just exalts the Savior and His work on Calvary uncomparably so. And it was intimidating to get into, but boy, once I grabbed my nose and jumped in the deep into the pool, the Lord has really fed me from this book, and I am a little bit sad about wrapping it up. I want to draw your attention to something. Look at verses 28 and 29 of chapter 12. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Please remember that the men of God who wrote the Bible, the holy men of God that wrote it as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost, they didn't write it in verses and chapters, okay? They sat down and wrote. And then later on, that was added by the church. So go back to 29 one more time and let's just keep reading. For our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Hello? I mean, that is a sandbag upside of the head. Okay? Our God is a consuming fire. Y'all don't quit loving each other now. You hear? I mean, that is startling. Okay? And here's why. Pure doctrine always produces pure living. Okay, I need some help, or I'm gonna stay there, and we're gonna be here a very long time. Okay, so if you like it, say amen, or if you already knew it, say amen, and I'll move on. If you just look at me like that, I'm gonna go, they don't know what I'm talking about, so I need to go back and repeat it. And my wife will say, honey, you don't have to repeat it. Okay, aren't y'all glad she's on your side? Okay, pure doctrine is always followed by pure living. That is why I have a huge problem with the church of today. And I agree with the song the lady sang, our better days are ahead. Jesus is coming. Glory to God. Okay. But what's called the church today, and it's not new. We think it's new and we act like it just happened in the last two decades. Paul had to address it. Paul had to address it 2,000 years ago, but it is rampant today, and here's what is rampant. Once you realize, here's what they say. If you bow up in the back and leave and go to your average church, there are plenty. There's lots of good churches scattered across this country. I believe that with all my heart. But if you go to the average church, here's what they're saying. Because of our position in Christ that's been sung about tonight, because of what He did on the cross, because I am accepted in Christ, here's what they say. Quit trying to get God to love you. Quit trying to impress Him with your life. Quit trying to earn His favor. And then here's where they go. It doesn't matter how you live. You're accepted in Christ. I am accepted in Christ. I am only accepted in Christ. I cannot earn God's favor. I cannot get Him to love me. I can't convince Him to love me any more than He already did and does and will. I can't change that. But because I am accepted in Christ, here's how I ought to live. And all of your doctrinal books in the Bible are the heavy doctrine, just that magnify the cross, that magnify His blood, that magnify our position in Christ. All of those, before the author finished, they wax eloquent, if you'll let me say it that way, on what that means in our daily life. Let me prove that to you. There's nowhere that it's proven any better than Hebrews 12. 12:29 and Hebrews 13:1. Our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Okay? But let me show you a few more. Look in Romans chapter 11. And if you're a Bible student, and I want to remind you that I believe many of you are, that don't mean we couldn't step it up, that don't mean we couldn't dig in a little more, that don't mean we couldn't live it a little better, but there's some serious Bible students here, and I'm thankful for that. I want you to look at Romans chapter 11. And all 11 chapter, okay, in Romans is where we find out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's where we find out that we all came forth from the womb speaking lies. That we're reminded of just how devastated our condition is, how depraved our condition is. The cross is magnified where scarcely for a righteous man would some die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But as Brother Matthew said in the Sunday school hour, God commendeth His love. He didn't just give us a little bit and say, okay, what are you going to do with this? He commended His love toward, He poured it out on us. And all of that is in Romans. So look at Romans 11:36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Would you say amen? To whom be glory forever. Amen. 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Just glory and doctrine and power and exalting the Savior. And then he turns it and he says, now here's how we ought to be living. And the rest of the book is down to earth, practical Christian living. Look in Galatians. Look in the book of Galatians, chapter number 4. Galatians is an amazing book. Doctrine had been perverted, and Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian believers to correct that error. Look at verse 31 of chapter 4. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, that is Hagar, the wife of Abraham, the one that he should not have had. Verse 1 of chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we'll be back in Galatians in a few minutes. But he switches from strong doctrinal truth to this is how you ought to live. Go to the book of Ephesians, the following book. Ephesians is 6 chapters long. Look at the end of chapter 3. And the beginning of chapter 4, right in the middle of your book. Look at verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye, what's the next word, please? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. In Ephesians, 3 chapters are devoted. You will not find doctrine more clearly presented in the first 3 chapters of anywhere else in the Bible than you have in the first 3 chapters of it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Okay, verse 4 in that chapter. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. At the beginning of chapter 4, right in the middle of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6 is where he starts talking about, okay, here's your rich doctrinal position in Christ. Here's how you ought to live. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about being filled with the Spirit. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about put off anger. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about put off lying. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about put away your blowing up, just like we preached on last Sunday night. He said, learn to communicate properly. Don't lie one to another. You're members of the same body. Why would you lie to each other? That goes to a family. That goes to a church. That goes to all of us. Can I get a witness right there, okay? You need to quit lying, okay? And that's what he says. Is God going to love me better if I quit lying? No. but I'm a child of God. Here's what he wrote to the church. It was a church. It was a church with people. It was a church with problems. And he said, quit lying one to another. You're members of the same body. When you lie to him, it's like you're turning, holding a mirror up and lying to yourself. And so good doctrine produces good living. Good doctrine produces good living. Your preacher is here to tell you these churches, and I don't mind saying it that way because I tell you every other chance I get that we're not the only pumpkin in the patch. But these churches that aren't producing good living, I'm worried about their doctrine. I worry about us, Preacher Raines. I worry about us, and I didn't say y'all. I said us. I worry about us when we say they preach the gospel. They don't have, their standards are weak. They don't tell people how to live. They're not teaching them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But at least they're hearing the gospel. Can I tell you something, Brother Billy? I've said that about friends, family, co-workers, and neighbors that go to a church where they hear the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, all of that. I hear that. But let me tell you something. If your good doctrine is not producing good living, I'm worried about your doctrine. I'm worried about your doctrine. I told you this morning, when we get saved, Seth, he is addressing our sin problem. And he didn't just address my sin problem the day I got saved. You know what he did this afternoon? He addressed my sin problem. He said, you don't need to be telling everybody they're full of themselves when you're full of yourself. I said, order's taken, sir. What he was saying was, yes, you have an authority to preach. Yes, you have a responsibility to preach. But the Bible says, examine your own heart. We'd be a whole lot farther down the road if we were as concerned about our own sin as we were everybody else's. Study to be quiet and to do your own business is what the Bible said. And that goes for all of us. So good doctrine, true doctrine produces good living. One more. Look in Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians. We're not looking at Philippians. That's the joy epistle that he wrote to the church at Philippi. They were in distress, and he wrote there, so it's not structured quite like the other ones are. It's not as doctrinal, but look in the book of Colossians, because it is a three chapter book. Look in chapter 2, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Let me be very clear here. He's talking about the law. He said the law couldn't save you, and you're bringing yourself back under the law. This is similar to what he had to say to the church at Galatia. He said bringing yourself back under the law, now that you're saved, is not going to earn you any favor with God. Look at verse 21. And he elaborates, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. I'm not going to teach or preach on that verse tonight. I'm just here to tell you, I think you're clear, you can see it. It's very doctrinal. But look in chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, what does that mean? I am accepted in Christ. When he got up from the grave, my justification was complete. If ye then be risen with Christ, here's what today's church is telling people. Go out and live any way you want to. Your position is secure. And here's what they say, Miss Sandra, about us. Because we care about how we live. I teach, I preach, we distribute literature, we try to be careful, we don't cram things down people's throat, but we care, and we believe the Word cares, and we believe God cares, and we believe it matters to and a testimony to a lost world. Here's what they say about us. You're adding to the gospel. You've never heard me in near going on 8 years, you've never heard me add anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've never heard me say, if you do this after you're saved, that's evidence you're not born again. You've heard me say some things that are pretty hard to swallow, which says a saved man can get into a mess. You've also heard me say, if a saved man gets into a mess, there's going to be chastisement. We don't add to the gospel. You're not saved on your merits. He'll never love you more than he does right now. But I can serve him according to what we read in Hebrews 12 today, I can serve Him acceptably. If I can serve Him acceptably, that means I could serve Him unacceptably. And here's what I've heard people say. That's the best I can do. I've heard them say, He can take it or leave it. Some of them have been under a man's thumb and nothing was ever good enough. There are places like that. But let me tell you something. There's not nearly as many of those as there are those who are cheapening the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me make you the most silly illustration of this that you've ever heard. Forgive me. It's just downright ridiculous. If you got a uniform from a fast food restaurant this week in Hendersonville, North Carolina, do you want it to be a grease-splotched, ill-fitting, faded Hardee's uniform or a Chick-fil-A? Y'all with me? Silly? Yes. Ridiculously silly. I'm just saying, if a Chick-fil-A employee holds his head a little higher than the pit of those other ones. Y'all know that ice cream machine still ain't fixed at McDonald's. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. McDonald's didn't. Oh, I know they got two drive-through, two lanes. That didn't change anything. When Chick-fil-A added two lanes, it changed everything. They can have two lanes wrapped around the building three times, and you still walk up, get your food, and you're on the road 3 minutes later. I don't know how they do that. If it matters in a fast food joint, does it not matter to a Christian? When people take more pride in where they work than who they represent for eternity, I'm a Christian. That means I can live just any old way. I can live sloppy. I can look sloppy. I can talk sloppy. I can listen to sloppy mess. I can watch sloppy. You follow me? Because I'm secure in Christ. Do you know what being secure in Christ makes me want to do? Hold my head up. I'm a child of the King. Back to carnal things. I got that Chick-fil-A thing up here. I'm a Marine. Chick-fil-A's the Marines of the fast food industry. No offense to the Coast Guard. Now, everybody knows in this country, whether or not they are, they think they are. Do we have any Marines? I know Roger was. Do we have any Marines? There's no such thing as a former Marine. There's no such thing. They'll tell you. Don't call him an ex-Marine. I ain't no ex-Marine. I'm still a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. That's all I'm saying is if you hold your head proud to represent this country, if you hold your head high because of where you work, can we not be the best Christian possible instead of the sloppiest one? Okay, so help me. Look, let me show you something. Go to Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Do you know why Hebrews 13, 1 through 4 is in there? This world would not have a problem with Christianity if it stopped in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. I believe that, Brother Mike. If Hebrews stopped there, if Colossians stopped at the end of chapter 3, if Ephesians finished it, if it finished there, if all eyes there, God is a consuming fire. Because if Hebrews 13, y'all, I need you to stay with me. If Hebrews 13 wasn't in there, every man would do that which was right in his own eyes, and they would decide what that consuming fire was worried with. I need to tell y'all something. The fact that we believe that, and I'm getting the impression that most of you do, the fact that we believe that makes us very weird to the 2018 church in America. Because if it stopped in verse 29, they'd go, yes, sir, God's a consuming fire. And he's gonna consume you. I'm good. He ain't too happy with you. And every man will be doing that which was right in his own eyes. But he went on to chapter 13, verse 1, and said, because God is a consuming fire, you let that brotherly love continue now, Trevor. Don't be backbiting. Did I have to go there? That or skip verse 1? You see what I'm saying? What's tearing churches apart in Western North Carolina and upstate South Carolina? Doctrinal error? Rarely. The lack of brotherly love. Are y'all with me? Rarely is it. The church down the road that has a different doctrine, they've been believing that for 200 years. I'm not going to change them and they're not going to change me. Doctrinal error is rare. We have to guard against it. I have to teach you good doctrine. But that is not what divides a church 99 times out of 100. It's the verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. And then on down through those verses. So let's let the Lord help us. We've already looked at verses 1 through 4 in Hebrews chapter 13. Hold your place because we're coming back. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Look at verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, look at verse 36. This is a lawyer. They had a different role than lawyers do today. That's not tonight's message. But he liked the law. You see what I'm saying? It's that when Jesus said, okay, you got your doctrine right. Here's how you need to be living. That's when people start squirming. Verse 37. I like it when Jesus talks. There's no arguing. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I don't know how many, I'm not picking on anybody, y'all know that, I don't do that. I don't know how many people I've told in the last 6 months, keep you thinking straight. Keep you thinking straight. Your thinking's out of order and you're spiraling downward. And some of you sitting there going, I thought it was just me. No, I've said it to a bunch of people. You know who else I've said it to, Brother Billy? Looked in that mirror, said it to myself. My thinking can get all out of whack. Thy mind. 38, this is the first and great commandment. It's not in those 10 commandments, is it? Per se. No, it's, you know what I'm saying. Let me correct that. He said, love the Lord and don't put any gods before him and all that. My point is, when we think about the commandments, what do we think of? Thou shalt not. Verse number 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang. Would y'all say the next word, please? The law. What's he talking about when he said law? Somebody tell me. First 5 books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the prophets. You know what he's talking about there? The rest of it. When you see law and prophets, he's talking about what we call the Old Testament. We add in, we do history and poetry. We put that in there. But when they say law and prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament. And here's what Jesus said. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Go back with me now to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verses 1 through 4. Just skim, let your eyes skim over them. You see them? You don't want to know what the common denominator is for all 4 of them? Loving God and loving our neighbor. Look at them, am I right? Love God and love your neighbor. Not just love your neighbor, love him as yourself. I wish he hadn't said as myself. I wish he'd just said love your neighbor. Then I could drop some quarters in their bucket there at the red light and feel good about myself. But he said love him as myself. Y'all with me? And the common denominator for all 4 of those verses is how do I love God and how do I love my neighbor? So let's look at them just for a minute. If you would, what does verse number 1 say? Let brotherly love continue. I'm so glad, Brother Brian, he said let. Let. He didn't say make it continue. Grow it and force it and fertilize it and it will continue. He said let it. Let me tell you what he's saying there. It was so refreshing. I don't know if it was Friday night or Saturday morning at the meeting we ran. Brother Dean called his daddy up. He's real close to my dad's age and he's had him preach the last 2 years. This year he said, Dad, I just give him a word. Just encourage these young people. And Brother McNeese Sr. walked up to the pulpit and he said, you've heard some good preaching. You've received some good instruction this week. And some of of you are starting your journey with Christ. You're beginning to walk as a Christian. He said, and some of you probably have some fear about what's going to happen when I get it wrong. What's going to happen when I make a mistake? What's going to happen when I fall down? He said, let me tell you one thing that you need to learn right now. He said, learn to listen to the sweet Holy Spirit. He said, when you have decisions you've got to make, when you've got temptations that are coming your way, when you have fallen or you feel like you're about to, he said, if you are truly born again, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And I want to say to Progress Baptist Church, if you're born again, and I don't know who is and who's not, you don't know if I am, you just trust that I am, and we hope we've got enough evidence of the Holy Ghost and fruit of the Spirit living in us to assure each other that some of us in here are saved. But if we're saved, let me tell you something. I've got the Holy Ghost living inside of me, and He is God. And out of my belly shall flow rivers of water. I should not be able to help, but for the love of Jesus to show through me. Now, here's why we don't like that. Because a whole lot of us, a whole lot of me shows, and very little of Him shows. God help us, Justin. That's just the truth. There ain't no way to soft soap it. There's no way to clean it up and make it sound better than it is. You can put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. When love is not showing through me, let me tell you something. I'm not letting Jesus and the Holy Ghost flow out of my life. I'm acting like Doug. And I got a bad combination of Rains and Harper. And she got a bad dose of Borf. From the motherland of Germany, can I get some help? Are y'all with me? We got it to deal with, Brother PJ. I don't know about them Smiths. That was a little weak. Okay. What is it? Go to Romans 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. What is brotherly love? I wrote, what, how, and why? What, how, and why? Please listen to me. You want to know why the devil fights the homes? You know what I'm supposed to be able to do, Brother Michael? I'm supposed to be able to stand up here. This is what God intended. I'm supposed to be able to stand up here and tell you what brotherly love is in the body of Christ and compare it to the family you grew up in. And 2/3 of you just went, please don't do that. Please tell me it's better than that. Y'all with me? That's why the devil fights the home. So many lessons we learn at home are supposed to be applied in the house of God. You thought it was the other way around. No. Some of you are sitting there going, I don't know about that, preacher. 1 Thessalonians, here's what Paul wrote to the fathers. He said, we were tender. He gave 3 characteristics. And it was almost like you could see him thinking. And he said, you know, the way a father is with his child. He didn't turn it around the other way and say, here's how God is with us, and that's what you're supposed to do at home. He said, no, I know this is what you daddies are doing, and that's what God wants in the church. Y'all follow me. That's why the enemy attacks the home. That's why the preacher breaks out in hives when he has to deal with scripture and husband and wife and parent and child and sibling relationships. That's why, because 2/3, 3/4, 5/7 of the church don't even know what I'm talking about. And you're sitting there going, if God is a father, that ain't helping me, preacher. Is that too real? That's the world we live in. And I'm glad I've got a Bible which tells me how I am supposed to be doing it. So what? The what of brotherly love. Here's what it is. It's brotherly. I don't have a brother. I got a sister, and I'm thankful for her. I pick on her. I do it publicly, and I shouldn't, but I do. She's a good one. Here's what brotherly love is, if y'all will let me define it this way. I might open the floor, and we'll just have a group discussion right here. Brotherly love means this. You might have your moments with each other, but after you have your moments with each other, you've got his back. Is that pretty close? All you ladies too, sisterly love. That's what's supposed to be at Progress. Don't answer me out loud, and please don't say a name. Please don't. Please don't do sign language to your wife.
Is there a member at Progress Baptist Church that talks too much? Is there a member at Progress Baptist Church that don't talk enough? Is there a member at Progress Baptist Church who is a busybody in other men's matters? Is there a member at Progress Baptist Church that ought to work more hours? Brother Rains, did you just say that? Yeah, 1 Thessalonians said, y'all are going to have to exercise some church discipline. There's some men in the church who aren't working. When was the last time you heard of a church exercise church discipline because there were men not working? Y'all with me? Hello? Talk to me, church. Are there members at Progress Baptist Church, Brother Morgan, who try to raise each other's kids? Are y'all with me? We've been together long enough to know things about each other that aggravate us about each other. Now, are we going to let brotherly love be the rule of the day where, okay, I have tendencies that drive her up the wall. For every 10 of mine, she might have one. For every 25 of mine, she might have one. How am I doing? Am I okay? Better. That 25 was better than the 10. Don't you mess with my wife. Don't you be on Facebook. Don't you be texting her about her issues. Me and her and Jesus will work on her issues. Her and Jesus and my mom and my sister and my three daughters will work on my issues. I'm trying to help us. Unless you live alone and have a severe case of schizophrenia, there is not a family in here that does not have issues. Y'all look angelic sitting there. I guarantee you, left alone long enough, you can get on each other's nerves. Are y'all with me? Let brotherly love continue. None of this slinging your head like Elsie the cow because you don't want to make eye contact with somebody. Stop it. That's third grade. Love you. Love you. We don't back the same team. There's lots of things between Seth Townsend and Doug Raines. Forget that I'm his pastor for a minute. There's lots of things that could be sources of irritation between us. You know what? If I kill over at the end of this message and I'm airlifted to mission, you know who's probably going to be in that ICU waiting room? Praying for me. And you know what? I'm glad. I don't care who he pulls for when I'm needing prayer. Are y'all with me? Let brotherly love continue. What is it? It is brotherly. Go to Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. Are you already there? Did I send you there already? Look at verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ. If you're saved, say amen. Amen. You're in the body. And I'm not nearly as impressed with that universal body that's all over the world. I can't, Brother Michael, I can't get my head around that. That's why he made us local bodies. Now, if you fly me to the Philippines, buddy, I'm going to yoke up with that body for about a week, and we're going to shout and sing and testify and sit in those cursed metal chairs, and the men preach for 2 hours, and God ain't in that. I'm going to act like a Filipino, and they're going to say, "You Americans preach too short," and I'm going to say, "You preach too long," okay? But I'm going to yoke up with them for a week. I'm going to yoke up with them, but this is my body. And he said, ye are many members, but one body. Look at the rest. Everyone, here it is, members one of another. Don't look at your thumb and say, I don't need you. Don't look at your earlobe and say, I don't need you. We were at my cousin's husband's funeral 2 weeks ago. And his brother walked up to us. A huge piece of mining equipment ran over him from here to his knees. I prayed for him when I was a little boy at our home church and in my home. You remember that. Our church prayed for him for weeks. He was lost. He was lost. Heavy mining equipment crushed him from here to here. And he walked up. He told me and Chris how he got saved. It was a blessing and a little bit humorous all at the same time. I'll have to tell you about it sometime. But there he was. And I said, Tim, when was that? And he looked at his wife and he said, I was 29 years old. And they invested millions of dollars trying to save his life. His uncle, my uncle, we share uncles there. It's West Virginia. And his brother-in-law, a piece of equipment ran over his foot. And they, I don't know how many surgeries. Do you have any idea? Unbelievable number of surgeries to save his big toe. And they said, without it, he'll never walk. Things may be a little more advanced now. They may have some prosthetics and some ways to help. But let me tell you something. If you're in an accident and it's crushed, I promise you they're going to try to save it. Now, you might be the big toe of Progress Baptist Church. Not real visible. Not out front. But without you, we wouldn't be moving forward. We're members one of another. And I wish everybody would look across the congregation and say, I am a member of that body with that person. Every member has a different function. Every member has a different role. But we are members one of another. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 3. What are we? We are members one of another. How do we let brotherly love continue? Not the what, but now the how. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. 4. Look not every man also on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem his brother better than themselves. Look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. If there's such a thing as a church where every member perceives themselves as a servant to every other member, you'll find the church with no strife. A servant is there to serve. This is not pleasant to listen to. I get more spiritual oppression. And that's not a rebuke. I'm not rebuking you. When the messages over the last 9 months on humility, you would think I was preaching on the blood of Jesus and the demons of hell were trying to keep the message from going out. When I preach on the blood of Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And the blood of Jesus gives me the victory just like it does in Revelation. When I preach on humility, when I preach on serving one another, do you know what 99% of us in here do? There's two or three of you, you got it going on. I'm not mocking. There's two or three of you, you're fine. Do you know what the other 99% of us do? I'll serve some of them. I ain't serving her. I know what she said about my grandyoungin. And us Rangers, we stick together. Ain't talking about my grandyoungin. Look at her grandyoungin. Little twit face. And those Gazaway kids. Good grief. 5. Why'd they have to have 5 of them? Wasn't 4 enough? I mean, they all look alike. They act alike. They sound alike. I mean, why do you keep trying? I mean, what are you hoping is going to happen? I ain't been an independent Baptist. This ain't new to me, Brother Garen. Been an independent Baptist a long time. I got the name right, didn't I? Yeah, we're going to open the doors of the church, okay? It's just time. Y'all quit this floating around. Just put you down some roots. Serve one another. Miss Mary, if I walked in that door, you say, Brother Rainey, that ain't what the preacher's supposed to do. I beg to differ with you, buddy. I've been around some preachers. They're servants, and God honors it. 25 years ago, Dad, somebody told me they were in a, after Brother Sammy's Saturday night youth meeting, a bunch of them went to an ice cream joint. He loves ice cream as much as Preacher Raines. And somebody spilled a milkshake, and they said the first man to the counter to get clean in rags was Brother Sammy. And that family who told us that, she said he wasn't trying to impress anybody. He saw a need, and he wanted to meet it. Y'all with me? It ain't popular, Matthew. Jesus said, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. Look in verse 15. The contrast. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That verse is heavy. What if I pick and... How many of you raise chickens? Is it true? He told this all my life, and we never raised them. We couldn't because of the dogs. Is it true that if one gets a sore, the other ones pick at the sore? Unless you keep them from it. And is it true that they end up usually killing that one that's, and you end up slinging it over in the ravine? Let's not be chicken Baptist church. Biting and devouring one another. That's what 90% of the independent Baptist churches are doing. Can we break the mold? I'd hate to be at mission in CCU and the one I needed praying for me, the one who was going to touch heaven for me, I'd bitten and devoured and consumed him, and he wasn't here to touch heaven. You say, Brother Ames, that ain't going to happen. Somebody will. Take your chances. I want everybody praying for me that I can. Let's look at one more. John 13:35. We've looked at the what. We've looked at the how. Now let's look at the why. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Why didn't he say, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you give a big mission offering? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if your little country church gives $10,000 a year to Bible publishing. Because you can give without loving, but you're not going to love without giving. And he said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. And somebody who comes in out of that lifestyle, I'm so glad that they can see the love of God. But you want to know who else I want to see it. Cash, raise your hand, buddy. Raise your hand for the preacher. Morgan, raise your hand. Declan, raise your hand. You know who I want to see the love of God, Brother Doug? Your grandbabies. That missionary mom and daddy that's up in Canada, begging God to save two more. I'd hate for their memories of church to be a knockdown, drag out. I hope Brighton sees the love of God. Y'all with me? Oh, when a drug addict comes in and sees the love of God, when somebody got chewed up and spit out by the world and they come in and they see the love of God, that's so wonderful. But let me tell you something. You know who else? Shane, you need to see the love of God. The love of God ought to just be oozing up and down these aisles. What is it? How do we do it? And why? Brotherly love. Look at verse number 2 in Hebrews 13. Look at verse number 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. My goodness. So number 1 was brotherly love. Number 2, beyond brothers. Let me tell you something. Some of these missionaries that come in here, y'all going, they're just wanting a love offering. That word's got out like stray cats. You know, you feed them, they go tell their friends, and they come back with more. And we don't give them much, but if they're on the road trying to raise support, we'll give them a gas offering of $100. I'm talking about men we never have supported, probably maybe never will. We give them some gas money as long as we've got it. But y'all have no idea some of the notes. And I try to share them. But you have no idea some of the notes and the things they say to me before they leave. They'll say, preacher, we've been on the road and it's dry. And you have no idea how we needed this service. When somebody walks in these doors, you have no idea what they're going through. And I know we got a body. And I know the body has needs. But some of these, look at verse 2, strangers that come in. We don't know. Time out. We're independent Baptists. Will some goofballs come by? Is that all right to say? 36-year veteran. Brother Morgan, did you have any goofy people drop in? Or were they all in the upstate? There's a few South Carolinians came up, he just said. I stepped into that one. You ain't been in church long without seeing some, woo. Can I help me somebody? Your radar goes off, something ain't right. Some knuckleheads, some nuts are going to stagger in here, Ashley. Be sweet. That don't mean you take them in. I don't mean you take them to raise. I've got a guest room. No. Just kind, polite. Because 9 out of 10 are going to be true gold. They've been chewed up and spit out. They stepped out by faith trying to do what God called them to do. And they need us. Are y'all with me? Look at verse number 3. Those that are in bonds is bound with them, and those that suffer adversity as being yourself part of the body. I've talked about the body. Write this down and I'll let this one go. On adversity, write down 1 Corinthians 12:26. Here's what I want to say about bonds. Most of the time when you hear Hebrews 13:3 read, here's the application. Imprisoned Christians around the world in bonds. We should be praying for them. I don't do a good enough job as pastor of making us aware of those that are suffering for the cause of Christ around the world. But that's a real need. But here's the bonds, Matthew, I want to talk about. Is jealousy a bond? Is envy a bond? Is meth a bond? Is meth a bond? So those, whether they walk in the door or not, they're in bonds. And the Bible says, preacher, to pray for them as though we were bound with them. If I pray tonight for Kimmy as though I was bound by everything she's bound by, it'll take my prayer life to a new level. Confession is good for the soul. I ain't been praying for her that way. Lord, get a hold of Kimmy. Oh, God, get a hold of Kimmy. Then I move on down my list. If I prayed for Kimmy as though I was bound, I'd be praying a little bit harder, a little more earnestly. Look in verse number 4 and I'm through. Wow, look at 4. Is this a sandbag upside of the head? Do you know that you live in a country that has the morals of an alley cat? Which means no morals at all. Hookup, it's called the hookup culture, and I'm not being crude. It's called the hookup culture. That's what it's called. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. I can read that, and there's people go, oh, please, really. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Do you know what the common discussion is with evangelical pastors? And I just read some articles just for food for thought and so to sometimes keep my finger on the pulse of the, quote, church in America. The discussion today is, why won't our millennials quit living together? Have they read Hebrews 13:4? Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And they'll read that verse and they'll say, but we're committed. We haven't taken that final step of commitment, but we're committed one to another. No, you're not. Because in Hebrews 13:4, he contrasts marriage with all other relationships. Are y'all with me? And it doesn't matter that it's accepted. It doesn't matter that I went to a Bible-believing
forum, I guess would be the word, online the other day, where, I mean, it was simple things like, we're using this curriculum for Vacation Bible School and we're short in the junior division. Does anybody have any? It was stuff like that. It was just legitimate questions and answers for pastors to help each other. And one of them said, I have a question. He said, I've got several couples in the church living together and they refuse to see anything wrong with it. Can somebody help me? I said, are you kidding me? Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Why does the devil attack the institution of the home? What did Jesus say? He wanted to be a picture of Christ in the church. The husband and wife relationship. Do you want Jesus flirting? Do you want, you say, Brother Rance, don't say that. That's what you're doing. When your life is a mockery, he said, hey, wait, the fornication, put that away from, Jesus would never do that. No, and he doesn't want us doing it. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4. I'm going to end where I started. What did I tell you was the common denominator for all four of those? Love. Let me say this on number 4. Young lady, and you're going, preacher, you're preaching up the wrong tree. Oh no. I've had precious young ladies in this church say, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so said to me sexually. That's filthy. That's vile. Young ladies, my young ladies. That has no place. In a godly, Christ-honoring relationship. And here's what these perverted boys will do. They'll say something to see what your response is going to be. And the minute you don't slap him upside of the head and leave finger marks, he thinks you're an easy target. You with me? Don't you let some Hendersonville goofball touch you. You say, quit that. Some of you's looking at me really odd. 50 years ago, Percy Ray went to a man's house. And he took him out to his barn. 50 years ago. We're not talking about with today's technology. 50 years ago, he could push buttons and open and close the gates. He had his prized heifers, and I'm not being crude, heifers in there. And he said, why are they there? He said, because the bull is out there. Is that good? That safe? They went back to the house. He said it was a mansion, fountain, circular driveway. Said some slimy 60s looking hippie pulled up in his convertible, beeped his horn, and his daughter came out in her hot pants. That's what they called them in the 70s. Now they call them, I don't even want to say the word. Y'all know what they are. You don't need to be wearing them. It's wicked. Said she came running out the steps and jumped in the Corvette and they left. Dr. Ray looked at the millionaire and he said, I think you're taking better care of your heifers than you are your daughter. And if that was true 50 years ago, that's true in the world we live in today. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Seth, don't you cheapen that marriage relationship. It's holy and it's beautiful. Listen to the preacher. He ought to be as nervous and as wiggly as the bride is blushing. We preach to the girls, bless God, keep yourself pure. You girls, keep yourself pure. You girls, keep yourself pure. I say to all of you boys, we got more boys in here than we do. If the boys will keep themselves pure, the girls will be fine. That's good. Preach them right there. That's good, brother. Say it again. If the boys will keep themselves pure, our girls are good. Right. Oh, you boys, you say, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything I said that you understand, you live it. The next time I preach it 6 months later, you'll understand a little bit more. And by the time you're old enough to be married, you'll fully understand it. Say, all of you on this front row, say amen. Oh, my goodness, that was pitiful. Let's get some help from the Lord. Pure doctrine results in pure living.